Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Country Music Friday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. BK's at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. You also can watch the Triple Option with RBKD on, actually, go to hornfm.com. You can tap into the Twitch stream there and watch the Triple Option with RBKD. I haven't watched any of the shows yet, actually, I must confess. I need to go start watching. I listened to them, but I haven't watched them yet. I don't even know if I have. I gotta download the Twitch app first.
I haven't watched one. I've watched myself enough in my life.
When I go to Horn FM, I can just watch them through there. Maybe I can start doing that.
Yeah.
I know I'm promoting it, but I still listen on the Horn app all the time.
You got something to do this weekend.
I don't know if I want to watch like Jeff and Snoop and Craig and consume it that way, or if I just want to keep listening. Something I got to figure out.
You don't think they're good looking?
No, they're fine. No, it's not like that. Just I haven't ever in my life been on Twitch or seen anything on Twitch from my phone or laptop. So I feel like an old man. I need to do that. Mm. I'm encouraging you to do it. So I'm going to start doing it too.
You don't have to download the app.
It's called hornfm.com.
That's all it takes.
Boom.
We make it easy.
I sound like an old man.
You do.
Well, you are. So that's okay. You know? Like this constant move to try and be younger than you are,
I'm not trying to be younger.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying just everybody. People in general. Yeah. It's okay to be your age. Yeah.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
He's not that old. How dare you? Because I'm older than that. And
I didn't say you weren't.
Right.
That's Bucky Godbolt old.
Yes.
Not
yeah.
That old.
Yeah. Once you get age.
That's fragile.
Once you get a hip or a knee replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're old.
Bucky had a hard time doing a push-up. So it's tough.
Well, he had a hard time doing a push-up before he was old.
No, but he had a hard time doing a push-up.
By the way, we missed that when we were talking about we were having that shaved ice, which was so good.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to give them credit. The cheeseburger. I usually get a dog or nachos, but I was like, I'm starving. And it was made to order.
Ooh.
And
bacon?
Bacon. Bacon cheeseburger. Bacon. And I could tell, BK said, how is this? I go, man, this is...
It's legit.
You know.
It's the real deal.
Took a couple minutes, but I'll wait a couple minutes as I can still watch the game from the berm if you're going to make it to order.
I think I was smelling cheeseburger when I was there.
I was too, which is why I ended up. I looked around. I looked at every single place, and I thought, man, there's a lot of good options here.
I respect that you looked at every place
every
first to
one.
Make sure
you know
that to make your mind up.
Yeah.
And a truly informed opinion.
Yeah, I know. I had an informed opinion, and I had multiple options, and I thought, man, my nose was telling me for hours to go get that bacon cheeseburger.
The nose knows.
It does.
BK, what did you decide to end up eating at the ballpark?
Nachos.
I knew it. I know this young
you're,
man.
You're
going to
be disappointed, though, because he didn't go high school football nachos, which they have.
You didn't go high school football nachos?
Nope.
You went like some of the Hasidity?
Yeah.
Nachos?
Southside Market nachos? Brisket nachos.
Oh, okay. I can't hate on brisket nachos.
They look pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not hating on brisket nachos.
They were awesome.
Yeah. That's
But I was saying, but we had the shaved ice and the push-ups, as you mentioned, push-ups, the Flintstone push-ups.
Oh, those were great. Those were great. Yeah, we got into this discussion about frozen treats.
Good.
Yeah, for popsicles and things. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about the push-ups.
And even when you get to the very end of it and you pop the thing up and there's kind of that syrup that's just been stuck on there.
It's fantastic.
And then you get the tongue working in the crevices of the push-up and the syrup. And just shows you how much you still want that taste because you know that syrup's not going to taste like the ice cream did.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Yeah, that he's going to clip that.
Whoa. No, I can't. You said it, and I just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You're just giving BK ammunition.
I know.
Just play back and make fun of you. Make promos out of. You don't even know.
I mean, I left for a couple of seconds to call our next guest.
Oh, and you didn't hear it?
And when I started to pay attention again, I heard tongue and crevice.
So anyway, Rod, we are going to be going on a third date. She's really cool. And do we have our guest?
You guys had push pops.
We had push pops.
You had push ups. There you go.
That's why we got a third date.
That's great.
Tough transition here. We go now to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline to welcome our man, Mike Craven, who covers Austin FC for the Austin American Statesman. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
Doing good, guys. I hate to interrupt what was happening.
Mike, did you ever have those old school Flintstone push-ups, the ice cream?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was alive.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. That's the correct answer right there. That is the correct answer.
That is awesome. Mike, you couldn't have called at a better time based off where that conversation was going. So we appreciate you joining us today. Before we look ahead to Sunday's match against Sporting KC, let's take a look back at last week's match against Minnesota United. Austin FC gets the win 1-0 over the Loons. They are over 500 for the first time in club history. Before we get to some kind of overview thoughts on the first three matches for Austin FC, your thoughts on last week's win. What did you like? What did you not like from that 1-0 victory over Minnesota?
The defense, really. You know, getting the goal was great, but having a shutout, I think, was something that Josh Wolf liked even more. For Brad Stuver, it was his first clean sheet in club history. And it was Matt Beisler and Johan Romagna playing that center back position, Alex Ring right in front of them. So I think those four guys right there are going to be kind of the core of the defense moving forward. And Matt had missed the Colorado game to be with his wife as she was giving birth. And so it was only the second game they got to play together. And to see them play so well together, I think, has to be encouraging. Because going into the season, I think we all thought they were going to score goals. We weren't sure if they could prevent them. And so for them to do that in three straight halves now, I think it's pretty impressive.
Hey, Mike, you just brought up Matt Beisler, who you just brought up that he had had a child, so that's why he missed the last game. I thought I read in the Statesman that he actually was born in Kansas City. Is that true that he's born in Kansas City and he's going back? That's a lot of emotion for Matt Beisler, right? Just had a kid, now going back with the Austin FC, first game back in Kansas City. That's got to be pretty cool. Can you tell the people a little bit about Matt Beisler who don't know really about his skill set and about, you know, what kind of player he's been?
Yeah, so Matt Beisler he was born in the suburbs of Kansas City, right? So he played for Sporting Kansas City for 12 years. So, this is a real homecoming for him. If you take away the 4 years at Notre Dame, he spent most of his life around 15 miles from downtown Kansas City. I think his wife the same. So most of his family, most of his friends are back in Kansas City because of the pandemic and then because of the move. He hasn't really been around them that much in a while, because his wife was pregnant and, you know, all that kind of stuff that comes with that. So, I think he's really excited to get back home. I mean, they're going to fly in, play the game, and get back. So I don't know how much he'll be able to do there. But he's a real leader of the team. If Alex Ring wasn't the captain, I think Matt Beisler would be. So he's somebody who is an MLS vet. He's been an all-star. He was a captain in Kansas City. So I bet there's going to be a lot of emotions for him when he goes back home for a lot of reasons. I'm sure his parents are going to be there. And like you said, after the birth of his child, I'm sure it's going to be the first time he's been able to see them for a little bit.
Mike, you like the matchup for Austin against Colorado and Minnesota a lot more than L.A., and you were correct about that. What about the matchup with Sporting KC?
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for them. I think Austin FC is going to play well against teams that don't have just the offensive individual firepower that a LAFC does. When it's just team on team, I think Austin's going to do really well because Josh Wolf is a good coach, and they're playing a good system. And so I think the matchup is pretty good. Sporting lost their last time out. I think they have 4 points going into this match. So they're flying high. I think that Austin FC team, it really has a lot of momentum right now. I don't know if there's anybody at Kansas City that just completely scares them. So they're going to go in there, you know, a draw at the worst, 3 points at the best kind of mentality where a loss is disappointing, which I think says a lot, right? We're going into the fourth match of this season. They're going on the road against a team who was really good last year. And they feel like they should at least get a point from that. I think that's a positive, solid sign for this team this early on in the franchise's history.
Speaking with Mike Craven of the Austin American Statesman, he is the Austin FC beat writer for the Statesman. Mike, can we talk about Diego Fagundes, man? I mean, this guy did not start against LAFC, and he was basically forced into action against Colorado due to the Tomas Pochettino registration situation. He plays against Colorado, scores a goal there, scores the only goal last week in Minnesota, and he was in for Daniel Pereira. Like, it feels like Josh Wolf has himself a chess piece here, and Diego Fagundes can play a couple of different spots and can contribute pretty much every time he's on the pitch. What can you say about what you've seen from him, and do you expect him to be in the starting 11 pretty much moving forward?
I think Josh Wolf feels pretty good about the four guys in midfield. He's been playing a lot, so I don't know if he starts like every match or whatever, but he's going to play a lot. He's a lot like just a really good six man in basketball, where he's just instant offense, and he's seen it all and he's done it all. He's 26, but he's been in the league for 10 years. I mean, he signed his first professional contract at 15. So he's kind of seen it all, done it all. Pressure doesn't really get to him. He's a young veteran who has a really good mindset about him. And Josh Wolf said he's, you know, the best or the second best finisher on the team. So, you know, a goal in each of the last two games. Obviously, this last one was the winner. You know, I'd ride the hot hand, but I don't know where Josh Wolf's going to go with that moving forward. I'd imagine he starts this week against Sporting Kansas City for sure.
Hey, Mike, can you give us a little quick scouting report on Kansas City, what kind of challenges they're going to present for the Austin FC?
Yeah, I mean, they can score some goals. They can get forward. You know, they've over this last year or so, their Achilles heel has been the defense. And I don't know if they fixed that yet. You know, they gave up three goals last week against Real Salt Lake. So, a team that's known to grind. You know, they were one of the best teams, if not the best team, for a long stretch of time in the Western Conference last year. You know, three games into the season, soccer's one of those games with 34 games. Yeah, you just don't know what every team is right now. Everybody's still kind of figuring it out after the pandemic. It's the latest start that they've ever had. They had a really long off season for soccer. And so there's a lot of sloppiness, a lot of injuries, a lot of teams that haven't really been able to play their best 11 yet. So a team who I don't know if disappointing is the right way. I mean, they have 4 points. They're, you know, one win, one draw, one loss. But a team with a lot of expectation who hasn't quite played at that level yet. A lot like the Minnesota team last week. So maybe Austin FC is getting them at the right time before they really figure it out.
Mike, I know fans are excited to see this team come back and actually play at home, but I saw your article where the world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, they're actually going to open Q2 Stadium in June. I loved the opening to the article. You said the Beatles are coming to Austin. So this is a pretty big deal, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think I could argue that they're the most famous national team we have going right now. I don't know if the basketball team's as high profile as it has been in the past in my lifetime. So, I mean, they're rock stars, you know, maybe not in the circles that I'm used to walking around in, but I mean, they have a huge draw, and, you know, I think it's going to be as sellout as it can be. I mean, that's to be determined on, you know, how much the capacity that's going to be decided by U.S. soccer and local officials and stuff like that. But it's going to be a big deal. There's a reason that Anthony Precourt and the club wanted them to kind of start, to kind of be that first glimpse into the stadium. It'll bring a national attention to it. And so, yeah, I think it's another sign of this city being potentially a capital of soccer kind of in this state. Houston and Dallas haven't really gravitated to it, and some of that's because they just have so much other stuff going on, that it really gives Austin a chance with this new stadium to build a foothold at the national level, to where they're getting Mexican national team games. They're getting what we're seeing with U.S. women's teams. Maybe the men's team comes pretty soon. So it's just kind of a springboard into what they're hoping to do in this city with soccer in years to come.
Mike, as the beat writer for Austin FC, are you cool with the U.S. women's national team playing a match in Q2 Stadium before Austin FC does? We were talking about this yesterday, and I hate it. Like, I love that the U.S. women's national team is coming. That's awesome. They're a tremendous draw, and I agree with you. I think they're the most popular national team we have right now. But I hate that they're playing a game before Austin FC is. That just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I actually had a buddy text me that about 20 minutes ago. We were just talking about that. I think it just gives a national attention to it. And you can't turn them down, right? Like, you can't,
right.
You can't go, well, the team, we're not opening until June 19th, so those dates just don't really work for us. So I think right now beggars can't be choosers, and they'll take what they can get in terms of the U.S. national. If you can get, you know, Megan Rapinoe in the stadium, you take it.
Hey, Mike, I was noticing when I watched the games, obviously I'm watching as more of a novice than anything else. I like the juice that John Gallagher brings to the table when he's thrown into the mix. It's usually late just to kind of to bring in fresh legs. Is the strategy always with him being utilized in that way? And is he is he being, I would say, maximized in that position as a guy that comes in and brings that type of energy late in the game?
Yeah, he actually talked to the media earlier today, and he talked a little bit about this. I think his game works well in that last 30 minutes, kind of like a closer role with the striker. You don't really see many substitutes on the defensive side. Most substitutes are offensively because you're running more and you need to be maybe fresher at those positions late to try to score goals. So him coming on and being a guy who really can stretch the field and kind of give them more speed at that position, I think really works well in the last 30 minutes. Right now they're only playing one game a week, so they can kind of stick with their starters. Once we get on that back half, once we get past June and they open the stadium, they're going to start having some weeks where they're playing two games a week, and you'll see more guys starting, and he'll definitely be one of those guys who's going to start 10, 15 games, I'd imagine, by the time this ends, if there's no injuries.
Last thing for you, Mike, and we appreciate the time. Perhaps a stupid question, but then again, most of the questions I ask are stupid, so it's par for the course here. You know, we still have 31 matches to go for Austin FC, but going into the year, it kind of felt like best-case scenario for this club was to sneak into the playoffs. Like, that would be considered a successful season. Probably ridiculous to ask after three matches, but considering they're 2-1 and looking like they belong in this league, do you think maybe we can elevate the best-case scenario for this club?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they have, right? You talk to these guys, and they don't talk about it like an aw shucks, we're just happy to be here, thanks for talking to us. You know, I mean, they're all professionals who want to win, who've been really good at different places. You know, there are some advantages to being a new franchise in Major League Soccer. They give you a decent amount of money to go make a roster and be good right away to kind of hook that market in. So none of these guys are just here to compete and, you know, maybe make a playoff. They want to go win, and they're not going to, you know, maybe compete for the top spot in the West. But once you get into playoffs, soccer is one of those things where in a one-off game, anything can happen. It's low scoring by nature. And so every game is close. And so all they got to do is get there. And once they're there, you know, all bets are off.
He is Mike Craven of the Austin American Statesman. Check out his work at statesman.com and follow him on Twitter at @CravenMike. Mike, we appreciate the time, my friend. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
There we go.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Mike Craven, the beat writer for Austin FC. The Verde and Black get back at it this Sunday, the first Sunday match for Austin FC, 6:30 p.m. It's nationally televised, gentlemen, on Fox. So if you don't have the CW, or if you've had to go illegal stream to watch the first couple of weeks, you should be able to watch this one this weekend. Hopefully they can get a three-game winning streak together.
I saw that. I think that Sunday night slot is set up for that because I saw a game last Sunday night.
And thought,
all right, that's going to probably be Austin FC this week. So be some nice national rep there.
I'm excited, man. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, no, they are.
Yeah, they have been fun to watch, actually.
Better than I expected. Too. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but I just assume expansion teams are not going to be very good, and they've held their own. Like I said to Mike, they've looked like they belong against some teams that were very good last year. So hopefully that continues. Sporting KC had the best record in the Western Conference during the regular season last year. They got bounced relatively early in the playoffs, but that's a good club and a tough place to win. We'll see if Austin FC can get it done.
Let's get to one and done. We're going to preview the Texas TCU series and really get into what it's going to look like coming up at 6 o'clock. But with one and done, I want to get into more of the overview and what TCU and Texas Tech have done the last 10 years. Going back to Augie and certainly at times with David Pierce, how they have really changed the landscape in the state of Texas with baseball. This is a huge weekend because of that for Texas.
Like that five-star recruit at Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. Growing up following Texas baseball, it was awesome. They were everything in the state, and if you were playing high school baseball in the state of Texas, even if your family likes someone else and you got a ride to Texas, you were probably going there. That's what happens when you go to Omaha. As much as they have, they've been to Omaha more than anyone else. But we've seen other programs that I used to go watch a doubleheader against, like TCU, and expect Texas to sweep and do it in a very big fashion on a Saturday. And that's just kind of changed a little bit. Texas TCU coming up here at 7:15 for the pregame, 7:30 for the first pitch. We're going to give you a really in-depth preview of the actual series this year coming up at 6 o'clock. But I wanted to focus, like I like to, on the overview and how the landscape has kind of shifted. And David Pierce has been at Texas since 2017. He's done some good things here. I mean, heck, they were 14-3 last year before everything with the pandemic went to hell. They've had a really good year this year. And then you go back to, it was 2018 when they won the Big 12 championship and also got to Omaha. And so you got to give him some love. Look, the jury is still out on him. Texas baseball fans are going to be hypercritical, as they should. There are Texas fans listening right now, like UT George, shout out UT George, that have just seen the best of the best. I mean, even for me at 42, I've seen Gus and Augie Garrido. When Gus left, he was the winningest coach in college baseball history. When Augie left, he was the winningest coach in college baseball history. BK, this is a tough program to follow up on.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say there have been worse college baseball coaches than Gus and Augie.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Man, you are really taking some chances today.
I mean, that's Skip Bayless-esque right there.
Hot take.
That is hot
sizzling.
Take. I'm waiting for Stephen A. Smith to come back and blast you.
Thank you. Yeah, there is a fire extinguisher in the next room if you guys feel the need.
I would hope so. I would hope so. But I go back to with TCU and Jim Schlossnagel, which is a great name.
Yeah,
that great name.
2009, they had an Omaha-worthy team. And that was where they ended up losing to Texas in the Super Regional, and God, that was some good baseball, really good baseball. But I remember I was covering that, and Schlossnagel in the postgame press conference was just shaking his head. He's like, man, I we did everything we could. They had Matt Perk coming in next year, who was thought to be a first-round pick, and he literally said, he goes, we got to get Perky, or whatever he called him. He's like, we just got to get him. And I think he envisioned probably for the Super being in Austin that next year, which they were. But 2009, I'll be the first to say, TCU should have been in Omaha. Texas should have beat them, but they should have beat them in Omaha whenever they matched up. And the next year, same thing for Texas. At the 2010 Texas team, that's the best offensive club I've ever seen in Austin, certainly with power. I put the 85 team right up there with doubles and just run scoring and production, which is what matters at the end of the day. But that was a great Texas team, and Matt Perk did go to school. And Matt Perk was pretty big time with that staff and with that offense. Matt Carpenter, guys like that, guys you saw in the big leagues for TCU. Once again, those two teams should not have met in a Super Regional. They should have met in Omaha. And just like I said in 2009, TCU would have beaten Texas in Omaha. They were the better team. It went to three games, just like in 09. You got to give them love. But that was the first time TCU had ever gotten to the College World Series. And once you do that, the question is, can you back that up? Can you keep that as a tradition? Can you start to turn that into something that it's not a once in 50 or 100 year thing that, hey, we got to Omaha. We don't even care how we did. And look, Texas A&M should have been jumping on this for years. Texas A&M had some really good teams under Mark Johnson, especially the 89 team, which is one of the best teams I've ever seen, to not get to Omaha. But they've been to Omaha, and they've won two games there all time. So Texas A&M did not take advantage of kind of where they were as the secondary school to Texas baseball. And all of a sudden, teams like TCU and Texas Tech started to do that. TCU did it in 2010. And they went 3-2 that year in Omaha, went back in 2014, went back in 2015, went back in 2016, 2017. And that's when it really changed. So once they went in 2014, I thought, can you guys back this up? You've got two appearances now, and to go four straight years, that's when all of a sudden guys that are freshmen and sophomore, they expect to get there. And I saw that with Texas guys forever. You saw that with the Seth Johnstons of the world, who, you know, they made redshirt in 2002. But it's like, no, our expectations to get there. Seth got there every single year and won two national championships. So much love to him and guys like that that really set the standard. But no one else had that standard in the state of Texas, Rod, except for Texas. And then TCU, that 2014, 2015, those 4 years in a row, there was a new sheriff in town.
Man,
or in the state.
Where did Tim Tadlock come from?
Tim Tadlock played at Texas Tech. He was a hitting coach at Oklahoma.
Okay.
I don't know if I've said this on the air. I think I've hinted at it. I'll go ahead and say it right now. Augie Garrido was going to hire Tim Tadlock to be the hitting coach here.
Oh, wow.
Kirby Hocutt got wind of that and hired Tim Tadlock as the head coach at Texas Tech, being a hitting coach and infield coach at Oklahoma when Oklahoma actually wasn't doing that great. But the word was out. Mm. And Augie, when I asked Augie, I said, who's going to be the next great head coach in college baseball? He said Tim Tadlock.
Wow.
He was going to hire Tadlock. He was going to set it up. To, and Tadlock's best friend was Skip Johnson, who's now the head coach at Oklahoma. Skip Johnson said he was going to stay at Texas, be the associate head coach, be the pitching coach until he dies or until they don't want him anymore, to work with his best friend, Tim Tadlock, who was going to be the coach in waiting and was going to be the next head coach at Texas. I love what David Pierce is doing. So this is aside from that. But that was the dream, and that was the goal until Hocutt jumped in there.
That is I have never heard that. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That is a nice nugget
there,
to know.
There's a little nug for
you.
Whoa. Makes the Chris Beard thing feel even better.
It does, yeah.
It already felt great, but knowing that story.
That is great.
Makes it feel a lot better.
Interesting. Okay.
So let's look at what David Pierce has done against TCU and Texas Tech. To get back to Tech, so Tech made Omaha with Tadlock in 2014, 2016, 2018, 2019. They had never been to Omaha. Or maybe they had visited. They had never been to the College World Series. So Tadlock very quickly backed up what Augie was talking about, how good of a coach he is to get to Omaha for the first time in school history.
Hmm.
Four times, and you do that 2014, 2016, 2018, 2019. Who knows? They probably would have gone last year. They may go this year, but they've got a lot of injuries. But as they proved last weekend, they can still come in and beat a team like Texas as they won two out of three. But looking at what David Pierce has done against Texas Tech and TCU, and those are the two best programs in the state. So it's been hard for me to grasp that because Texas was the program for 100 years and all of my lifetime up until about 2014, whenever TCU started to really kind of back that up, as I said, after the 2010 run, and then Tech, also in 2014, went to Omaha. So anytime there were two schools from Texas going to the College World Series, yeah, one of them was going to be Texas. And that wasn't the case in 2014, which really made me think, okay, we got to get this thing going. And obviously that was with Augie, and Augie had a nice little run there, even towards the end with that run to Omaha. But it was not a championship team, and he certainly knew that. Here's what David Pierce has done from 2017 on against Texas Tech and TCU. I'll start with Texas Tech. This year, they were 1-2 against them. He's done a pretty good job, though. They were 2-1. They took 2 out of 3 in 2019, took 2 out of 3 against the Red Raiders in 2018, and then got swept in 2017. So he's 5-7, including this year, against the Red Raiders. And considering I've got so much respect for Tadlock, and I do think they are the program with TCU right now, that's close to 500. We'll see how that plays out, right? Against TCU, this is where it's really important what they do this weekend, just to kind of give us all a feel of where they are in this landscape. In 2017, Texas got swept against TCU. They swept the Horned Frogs in that 2018 year, whenever they went to Omaha and also won the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
And then they were 1-2 against them last year. In 2019.
Remember that sweep in 2018, right? Texas needed all three of those games to win the Big 12. Cody, the walk-off on Saturday to keep the conference championship hopes alive. That was a massive series sweep for Texas.
It really was. So David Pierce, because obviously they didn't play last year, David Pierce is 4-5 against Jim Schlossnagel and TCU, and he's 5-7 against Tim Tadlock. They clearly didn't play either of those series last year. So, he's been pretty close. The jury is still out, but the jury's not out that young kids growing up look at TCU baseball and Texas Tech baseball as good of an option, if not better for some of them, than Texas baseball. And it's important. I mean, it's only been 5 or 6 years to not lose that grasp. And that's why these series, last weekend's series and this weekend, it's so important. It's obviously important for the 2021 year and chasing the Big 12. But the bigger picture, it's even more important because you really owned this state and owned the mind share of all these young kids. That's not the case anymore. Mm-hmm. TCU and Texas Tech, give them credit. Hocutt made the hire to get Tadlock, an infield coach at Tech, and Schlossnagel was a fantastic hire, coming, I believe, from UNLV. And that was, I believe, Chris Del Conte, who would have made that hire. So they've made some, and it may have even been before that, but CDC did a good job of recognizing that, giving the program money, making sure the facilities and the coaches were paid, and that that was definitely a baseball school to go to. Whether it's going to be David Pierce in 5 years or not, I don't know. I'm rooting for him. He's a hell of a guy, and I think he's done a really good job this year. But I think he knows how important this series is. This is not me going to watch that Saturday doubleheader in 1990 against Lance Brown and thinking, well, we should win this 10-1 and 9-2. Times have changed.
Times have changed, and you kind of hinted towards this. I want to make sure I have this right. Back in the day, if a guy were to get an offer from Texas and TCU, it was no question he was going to Texas. Same thing with Texas Tech. If a guy were to get an offer from UT and Texas Tech, there was no question he was going to Texas. And now it's people are choosing those schools over UT.
I'll even jack it up a little bit more for you. There were guys that got half rides or three-quarter rides to those schools and just took books because they wanted to come here.
Wow.
And they wanted to go play in Omaha. And they wanted to win championships. And they knew the only place to do that was at UT.
Not the case anymore.
It's not the case anymore.
Although TCU nor Texas Tech have a championship, right?
No, they don't. They don't. And
not to take shots, because I'm with you. Those two programs are incredibly healthy, and right now they are the two best baseball programs in the state, but they haven't quite gotten there just yet.
No. Tech, in their four appearances, 1-2, 2-2, 2-2, and 1-2 in Omaha. You know, people always wonder why Texas has been there so many times and they only have six national championships. Gus and Augie would tell you they probably should have 9 or 10, but even then, that's actually batting better than you think. You get the best 8 teams in that sport of baseball where anything can happen. You need some luck. You need things to go your way. And then TCU and their 5 appearances in Omaha, 3-2, which was their best year in 2010, 3-2 also in 2017, but they're 2-2, 2-2, and 1-2. So and none have played in the championship series.
You know what our favorite prophet Tom Herman once said?
Oh, great.
Don't say it.
How did you cap all that with this?
Winning is hard.
It is hard.
I knew he was going to say that.
Yeah.
I thought that was our favorite prophet, my bad. I didn't realize you guys weren't in on that with
I don't know
me.
About favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know about prophet either.
Difference is beating Maryland in the season opener should be a lot easier than facing the top 7 teams in the country,
okay.
Other 7 teams.
Well, are there any jet sweeps in Omaha?
Oh, God.
No. It's tough to stop, dude.
It's a big weekend, man.
I'm excited.
We'll get into the actual series, this year's series, at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll have audio, too, from David Pierce, from Jim Schlossnagel. God. I mean, I can be sober and that name sounds drunk.
Yeah, it does. Right, it does.
There's a lot going on there. But yes, first pitch, 7:30. We'll have all 3 games for you right here on the Horn. Texas at TCU at Lupton Stadium in Fort Worth. There is one and done on the triple option with RBKD. When we come back, it'll be time for Off the Record. I think I found the least humble thing that anybody has ever done. Next.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the rain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Brad Keltner and my man Kevin Dunn. Time for a little Off of the Record here, gentlemen. This one comes from the hip-hop world. Drake, who is expanding his business pursuits into more than just the rap world. He does some acting, does some other stuff too. Well, this report says Drake is launching a scented candle that smells like him.
Oh, this is not like the scented candle from...
Now,
okay.
He's got a full collection of candles that goes on sale this weekend. I think just one of them is just going to smell like him. I think he'll have other candle fragrances as well. He's entering the home fragrance business with the launch of 5 scented candles that he's going to have. And one of them is going to smell like Drake.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna. I don't even. And I don't,
is he gonna smell like his junk? Like
I don't know what
Paltrow.
No, oh, I don't know.
That's for, when I saw the story. That's the first thing I thought of. I thought
the essence of Drake. It could. I don't know. I don't know if he's saying it's gonna smell like his. she specifically, her candle smells
like the
like
ocean.
Her.
Yes.
Essence, like her,
but her
vajayjay. Like
yes,
essence. It's a vajayjay candle.
Yeah,
like
it blew
specifically.
Up. Y'all remember that story?
Yeah.
Oh, it sold out.
No,
it actually. It well, yes, it
did, sold out.
It sold out and blew up that way. But then there's one that actually.
Hold up! Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were talking about that. It actually, it did sell out.
It did sell out.
Yes.
And then one of the ones that sold blew up on a customer.
How does a candle blow up? The vajayjay stuff, is that powerful?
I guess so.
It's blowing up when you light it on fire?
Gwyneth Paltrow is pretty insane.
Yeah.
She is kind of crazy.
So,
Chris Martin said it's like gasoline down there.
well, okay, so I don't know. Yesterday, the rapper did talk about his new Better World Fragrance House fragrances, whichever that means. Sunday, May 9th, to be exact, which also happens to be Mother's Day. They're going to launch these new fragrances. I guess it could be a Mother's Day gift for you.
Dude, is this the least humble thing anyone has ever done? Releasing a candle that smells like you?
The essence.
I mean, that's got to be up there. In terms of least humble things of all time.
Agreed, but Paltrow took the cake because she went downstairs with it.
She went. She opened the door.
Yeah.
She opened the door.
Right? Yeah.
But that also. Well,
a few doors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's ridiculous. Like, the thought of doing something like that would never cross my mind.
No.
Yeah, I guess he's doing it so people can order it for Mother's Day for moms.
Well, it's not going to get there in time.
That's true.
For Mother's Day, right?
But I guess you can order it for her. It's not going to get there in time.
Yeah, pre-order. Mom, heard you love Drake. How many moms out there love Drake?
That too.
Heard you love Drake, so I didn't get you his new album.
You don't know what he smells like, though.
I didn't get you a t-shirt. I got you a candle that smells like him.
Right.
Okay, so according to Postmates, 4 cents will be available during this debut release. Sweeter Tings. Williamsburg Sleepover.
Oh, my God. That sounds illegal.
Muskoka and Good Thoughts.
Spelled THOTS.
Yeah,
and there's one that smells like Drake. I think is I don't know if they're joking. I think this is supposed to be real. Carby Musk.
Carby Musk.
Like Carby, like K-C-A-R-B-Y, then Musk. That's the one that smells like Drake.
Well, I'm not buying.
And that was gonna drop later. The four that are gonna drop on Mother's Day are the the other ones I just named. But the one that smells like Drake, you gotta wait on that one. Sunday, June 20th.
Okay.
2021. So that one's gonna be later on.
Right after your birthday, KD. I'll get you that.
I know what I'm getting now for BK.
I got you, man.
Can you give me the Paltrow one?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't care if it
smell
blows.
I'd rather have than Drake.
Sounds like one of those stories that you're like, that's a fake story. It's like, no, that's a real story. I keep looking for it to be. No, but it's everywhere. Page 6 is everywhere.
Thoughts and Tinks, the name of a couple of his candles. I don't think I want that smell in my place either.
If there's any questions about us lionizing celebrities too much, I think this is a great example.
So, Robert,
how about this? Okay, so I didn't put this in there, but this is like part of the promotion. So I got to make some people might really want this. So from Friday, May 7th through Sunday, May 9th, one of the coveted scents will come free with any Postmates order of $50 or more.
50?
From a list of artists' favorite restaurants in New York City and L.A. So basically, if you'll be ordering like $50 at Postmates from certain restaurants, and they'll get a free Drake candle.
All right.
Which is, I guess that's cool.
I would do that.
Yeah.
Like, so not for the candle, but
just
like,
right.
If I was with a group of people and we wanted to have food delivered.
It's Drake-approved New York eateries.
Mm.
And there you go. Stuff like, and it's West Coast eateries.
Like Subway.
So, yeah, so this is why it is genius, though, because it's cheesy as hell. I get it. And y'all are right. It's not a celebrity-driven culture, and now we have this celebrity worship thing going on. But the fact that he's basically making money off, and the candle is not even the big thing. Now he's got all these business relationships with all these eateries and restaurants with a candle that they're going to give away via Postmates. He's basically interconnected like 3 or 4 different industries.
Yeah.
Right? And now.
Oh, it's smart.
You know, it was brilliant. It's brilliant marketing, but I'm with you. I think it's cheesy, but it is. It's why he's a great marketing mind.
So.
Postmates and eateries and the candle scent industry. It's going to bring his rap fan base together. This is what these Paul brothers are doing with boxing. Yeah, they're taking their social media influence audience.
That getting knocked out, apparently.
And that doesn't even matter because they've already made the money. Right. And Drake gives a damn if the candle sale. No, he didn't care about the candles.
I know.
He's getting free publicity this way, and he's probably got some other deal working side deal with the restaurant.
Which is why us as the sheep, as consumers, we got to start saying no and putting up some stiff arms and calling these idiots on their crap.
That is the least humble thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. But Drake, half Jewish, did have a bar mitzvah, so, you know, he's a smart businessman right there.
Tribe.
Gentlemen, Rod, when you sent this story earlier today, I thought of two questions. Number one, if you could have a candle that smells like any celebrity in the world, which celebrity are you picking?
That's good.
And number two, not nearly as good and a little bit disgusting. If all of us at the Horn had candles that smelled like us, whose do you think would sell the best?
That's an even better question.
I thought it was worse, so thank you.
I think probably Bucky, because he gets so much stuff done. I mean, he gets manicures and pedicures. He's got to have scrubs and lotions and all that stuff.
He gardens a lot, though. He's always working. He's building a
house.
That's
true.
Guy
plays golf. He sweats a lot.
He does sweat a lot.
Maybe Rod?
I don't wear cologne, though. All I wear is Secret deodorant.
True. BK's been wearing a cologne that smells pretty good.
You wear cologne?
Some days.
Yeah, not always.
What kind of cologne are you wearing? Why can you wear cologne for us?
Nothing to do.
I think he does because what may be in that studio before he gets there. That's
part of it.
Okay, that's the feeling I'm
something
getting.
Something odorous in there.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, you know the people who work here.
I appreciate it whenever I pop in there and I'm like, oh, this smells better than I thought it would be post-Sam or Trey after a volleyball match.
That's why your second question about whose candle at the Horn would smell best is a tough question.
Mm.
That's tough.
All right, what about the celebrity one? People can text in for either of these.
But I know I'm going with celebrity. That's easy. I'm going Beyonce.
Mm. Halle Berry post-bath.
Mm-hmm.
She just looks like she smells incredible.
I might take Beyonce sweaty. Like Beyonce, right. I bet even sweaty smells pretty good.
Yeah.
Even a sweaty Beyonce, I bet smells pretty damn good.
Right.
You want sweaty
I'm just saying.
I've had women that
smell
good sweaty.
Pretty damn good. Like she's just, it's a pheromone thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They taste salty and they smell good. Like the neck, you know what I mean? Like if they just get done from a run and it's I really like you.
Look at that. That's how you know you really like somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the pheromones.
Let me shower. No, you're good.
Beyonce's mine. No, I agree. I like that. Who was yours, Katie?
Halle Berry post-bath.
Halle Berry post-bath is good.
Ooh, post-bath, not post-shower. So you want her bathing in her own filth.
I'm assuming that Halle Berry doesn't get that filthy.
There's no filth.
Yeah, she's not that filthy.
Yeah.
It's Halle Berry.
Yeah, okay, bacteria doesn't affect
you're just,
Halle
no,
Berry.
No, you said filthy, though.
You're just marinating in love at that point.
Okay, we got to give it. And
craziness.
We have to check the science on that.
Yeah, you should.
We got to deal the question about the Horn, though. Who's going to smell the best?
We
got to the bottom of this? Whose candle would smell the best?
I didn't ask which one would smell the best.
Which one you said would...
One would sell the best?
Sell the best.
Well, I think sell means it's in its smell.
Well,
it smell good.
I don't think Drake is the best-smelling dude in the world, but he's going to have the best-selling dude candle.
But that's
there.
Why women are buying it, is because they like, I assume Drake smells good.
Yeah. I know who would smell the best.
Who?
Dave Williams.
Oh.
Our engineer.
Interesting. Well, he works hard, though.
What about Dave in the Cave?
Dave in the Cave.
It's got to be a Dave.
We're going to break. We'll continue this discussion.
Rita
looks like she smells good.
Rita's got to smell
close
better
enough,
than all of us. She's a lady.
Now.
She smells better than all of us.
Okay, that's how
you have
works.
A natural guy stank.
She's got smooth skin, too.
Smooth skin.
Mm. Creamy skin.
There you go. Hair products, all that stuff. All right, it has a smell to it.
Berg, that's going to HR.
That's enough.
What? Hair products?
No, what I said.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't worry, you're okay.
All right, we'll continue this conversation when we return. Also, back into Texas football talk.